You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Danny Wexelman with Greg Johns, who covers the Mariners for MLB.com. Greg, we're going to start off today with the man, the myth, the legend, the Jerry DePoto, who admitted that the D. Gordon trade went down all the way up in the air. And he also admitted to using emojis. So clearly, whatever he's doing is working. And we learned all of this from his podcast, The Wheelhouse. I am shocked, and I think that I may like him even more now, Greg. But what else did you find out from his most recent podcast?
The great thing about Jerry is you can learn everything from great places to eat on the road to what he likes to cook and his. He's a really good chef, kind of pretty talented in the kitchen. And the guy that he loves his English bulldogs. You learn all these things about Jerry DePoto, but you also learn a lot about baseball on his podcast. And he'll talk about statistics and all kinds of sabermetric stuff and kind of insights into spin rates and why they look at different pitchers and why Nick Denson doesn't have great velocity, but it's tough for guys to hit because of the spin rate and how he does things, and it's fascinating, really a chance. If people, I recommend his podcast, because I've sat around with Jerry, we get a chance sometimes on the road to listen to him and talk and just have dinner or whatever, and the podcast is kind of an open chance for fans to get that opportunity, just kind of listen to Jerry talk, and he's a great storyteller, and he's a fascinating guy. But one of the things I learned last week that I thought was pretty interesting was coming from a guy who was very, very sabermetric oriented, and I'll talk stats and why they do things up and down. But he talked about how the intangibles really are important to him when he's going after players, and how he really feels the need to fit guys in with their character and kind of their motivations and how they work with people and things. That's a really pretty big thing for him. I was kind of surprised at how much he talked about that. Not that he hasn't brought in guys that fit in well. It just was interesting to hear a guy who's that sabermetric oriented talk about a guy like Andrew Romine that they just signed to battle for the utility spot. And he talked about his personality and just how he was the kind of guy you want on your team. And it's interesting to kind of the different aspects of things. I think people tend to these days think, okay, sabermetric guys are only sabermetric guys, and they just look at the numbers, and it's not always true. And Jerry was a scout for 10 years, before he got into being a GM. So he sees things from all angles, which I think is good, because I think it is more than just numbers sometimes when you're looking at guys. So that's an interesting thing, But I look back, Danny. One of the funnest things you hear Jerry talk about is just his love for baseball. And it wasn't this last podcast, but I think it was a couple ago. Again, he gets talking with Aaron Goldsmith, who's a Mariners broadcaster, and they start talking. But he was talking, it's a story I've heard before, about how he used to have in his home, in his basement, a literal baseball museum. And players would come and literally come down and hang out with him. And every player that came, and he had everybody coming to see his place. He would have them sign a door. And he had a door down there, and he ended up having a couple doors. He ended up having so many doors with players' autographs. When they moved, he took the doors with him. And they finally, I think the third move they made, they got rid of the doors, which seems like a shame. There was so much history on him. But he's quite a fascinating guy, and his love for the game and the things he has done in his life are pretty interesting for a guy. And if you ever get a chance to listen to it, I highly recommend it.
Absolutely. I think it's so fascinating that they're doing this podcast, that he's being so open and honest and candid, which isn't something that we get from a lot of these guys. And he is kind of giving you a window into his life and his insight and is humanizing the game. That's what I love most about it. I could talk about X's and O's, of course, but the humanizing aspect for me is the most exciting one. So I love that he's doing this. But you know what else is exciting, Greg? Your reporter's inbox. Another week has passed, and so you have done another reporter's inbox. And I, just as I am curious about Jerry DePoto, am very curious about how you answer these questions, because your fans are passionate, and they have some spicy takes on what they think the team should and shouldn't be doing all the time. And you have to handle that with grace, which you do. So one fan asked you about a potential six-man rotation. over there in Seattle. And they'll only really consider this doing this during long stretches that don't include a break. But how does this work, Greg? Is this a win-win for everyone involved?
Well, it is if you've got six pitchers, I guess. It's a big question. Yeah. And there's a lot of people and a lot of my fans here in Seattle, baseball fans, are wondering, you know, why Jerry isn't going out and signing Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta. So, you know, a lot of people, their first reaction is, well, you can't go to a six-man until you have five. But they believe they have a little deeper rotation there than people kind of giving them credit for right now. And one thing about the Mariners, I think depth in the rotation is more significant than people realize, because they have 17 pitchers they used last year, and they have 11 of those starters back. 17 starters, I should say, and 11 of those guys are back. And, you know, that's a lot of guys with experience. Not a lot of teams rolling out that many guys, even without adding more this winter. You know, they've got guys back healthy. They added guys mid-season last year that are now there. So they definitely have a lot of guys that are coming into camp with experience. So there is a potential for a six-man rotation when needed. And like I said in my answer there in the inbox, it's only going to be a situation where they have a long string of games in a row. They don't have off days. You know, if you got an off, the schedule is different this year, Danny. They've added off days. We're starting earlier, and they've dropped in some days off. So with the Mariners, it's funny. I was looking at it yesterday. The first 15 days, they've got four off days. So you're not going to go to a six-man rotation when, even when you have five, the guys are going to be pitching only about once a week for the first couple of weeks. So, but then you get after that, and you got, you know, a stretch of 17 games in a row, and later on in the year, and you get 10-plus games, I think five or six different times, where you might want to give those guys an extra day. And you've got a Felix Hernandez or a James Paxton that's had some history of injuries, and you want to, you know, not just wear those guys down. You want to be strong in September if you're making the push that you hope to make. Young guys like Marco Gonzalez or Andrew Moore that maybe you want to keep their innings a little lighter. So a six-man rotation can make sense. And if you look at Seattle, you know, they've got guys like Ariel Miranda, Christian Bergman that they just re-signed. You know, I was hoping to get Isashi Iwakuma back in the second half. Young guys like Max Posey and Chase DeYoung, Rob Whalen, these are guys that are going to be pitching in AAA. You know, if you've got those guys, you can bring up, you know, when you have a chance to use a sixth guy and drop them in there every once in a while, and then send them back to Tacoma. You know, you keep those guys fresh. It can be a win-win. You just got to make sure you got the right guys, and you pick the hot hand, I think, at the right time, and keep everybody fresh. I think it's something a lot of teams are looking at. And interesting, you know, we talked, Danny, a lot about Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
I think his pursuit made a lot of front offices look at the potential of a six-man rotation, because that's probably how he's going to go with the Angels. He pitched on an extra day of rest in Japan, and
right.
So teams that were looking at him definitely looked at that as a possibility. I think the Mariners being one of those, and said, "Hey, this may be a way we should go when we get into a season with or without Ohtani."
Yeah, I think that you're definitely right that brains started to react to the fact that Ohtani could require that, and that other teams could possibly do it. And it's really interesting. I think that baseball has just been doing things the same way for so long that people don't realize you could do it differently and still have a really good outcome. So it's kind of exciting to see the game keep its traditional foundation, but be able to transform with the fans and with the age. And it's pretty exciting. So I'm interested to see if that could work out, if we're going to be able to talk about that come spring training and see if they're starting to work out the kinks in doing that, Greg. But next, we're going to talk about Evan White. Evan White, MLB Pipeline recently just spotlighted him, calling him a potential gold glover at first base. But what else do Mariners fans need to know about this wide-ranging first baseman?
Yeah, Evan, he was their first-round pick this past year in out of Kentucky. And you talk about defense, that's really going to be his calling card. He's not a big slugger kind of first baseman. He's very athletic, very fast, and excellent defender. It was an interesting pick when they picked him. I mean, a lot of times teams look at that big thumper at first base, and they said, hey, this guy he can hit. I mean, he's a line drive type hitter, but he's not a huge, bulky guy. He's about 6'3", 205, and he runs really, really well. You know, they compared him. They brought the name John Olerud when they drafted him, and Mariner fans that had a chance to watch Olerud play first base, I mean, he was a huge difference maker. You know, that you have a great first baseman, it makes all your infielders just look better. I mean, you make a bad throw on the play, you know, it's made routinely by an excellent first baseman. That's a huge thing, and this guy can pick it. There's no question. The question, obviously, is going to be if he can hit, and we're still kind of the jury out on this. He was drafted last year, played a couple weeks at Short A Everett, and then pulled his hamstring. So he ended up only playing a couple weeks of ball last year. So big year coming up for Evan White. We'll see where. I assume they'll probably start him in low A, maybe Clinton, give him a chance to work his way up. But, yeah, I think a lot of eyes are going to be on Evan White. He's one of their top prospects, but he just hasn't had a chance to prove it yet. Just didn't get a chance to play a whole lot at the end of last year after they drafted him. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. I've seen a few highlight reels of him playing defense, and he definitely is a good glove man, and we'll see how he can hit. They say he's such a good athlete that he can easily play a corner outfield spot, Danny, if need be. He can run like that. So, you know, you get a guy like that, put him at first base. You know, I think Brandon Belt, maybe with the Giants, that kind of guy. It should be interesting, fun to watch. Evan White, name to keep an eye on.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. I love talking about these young guys coming up, and it's something exciting for people to look forward to. Greg, another question in your inbox revolved around spring battles, and that got me really excited for spring training because I know it's around the corner. So I wanted to ask you about this. And you mentioned that the bench is going to be a hot spot for the Mariners. And I want to know, who are the front runners and who are the dark horses in this race?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And we're talking about 4 weeks away. And DePoto is pretty set on the lineup. So it's no question when you're talking about who's winning spots in spring, it's going to come down to those last couple of bench spots. And catcher's one of them, the backup catcher, Mike Marjama. A guy they picked up late last year from the Rays, and they really like him. Athletic guy, and he seemed to fit in very well. Smart guy, and they liked what they saw from him in last September when he came up. But they also claimed David Freitas off waivers from the Braves. So I think one of those two guys will wind up being the backup catcher. It'll be an interesting competition to watch behind Mike Zunino. And then first base, kind of an interesting spot. It largely depends, Danny, on whether they go with an extra bullpen guy, which they'd like to do. They'd like to go with an 8-man bullpen.
Okay.
A lot of teams go with the 7. They'd like to get that extra arm and go with that wolf pack they've talked about. And that's possible because in the past they've needed 2 first basemen and platooned there for the last few years. So they want Ryan Healy to be the everyday guy there. And if he can be that, then they can just have the utility guy be the backup first baseman. Otherwise, if they go with a shorter bullpen, they could go with Mike Ford or Daniel Vogelbach competing for that backup first base job. If not, I think the utility job, which is the other job that's kind of up in the air, Taylor Motter and Andrew Romine that we just talked about, Gordon Beckham, another veteran that's been around and played AAA last year and came up late. Those three guys, pretty good competition for the utility job, and all those guys can play first base. So if Healy's the everyday guy playing a lot, you can kind of get away with just being the utility guy, being that backup first baseman, and that gives you that extra arm in the bullpen. So those are going to be the spots to watch. I think outfield is interesting. Guillermo Heredia now looking at the fourth outfielder, but he's coming off shoulder surgery, so we'll see if he's ready. If he's not, they picked up Cameron Perkins off waivers from the Phillies, a guy that they like, real athletic guy that can, pretty big guy that can run and hit. And I think he might be the guy to keep an eye on. But Ian Miller.
You weren't lying, Greg. You were not lying about this being a hot spot.
Yeah, I mean, they got guys. And one of the disappointments, I'll tell you, Danny, Eric Felea, who we talked about, I think, earlier, was hit 408 in the Arizona Fall League, and I think was really going to look at that backup outfield spot this year. But just got a suspension, a 50-game suspension, unfortunately, for a failure of the drug prevention program and a drug of abuse, and I hate to see that. So he made a mistake and will not be in that competition coming out of camp. So kind of a downside there, but should be a lot of guys coming into camp with a chance to win some spots, and we'll be watching that closely when we get down to Peoria.
All right, I can't wait for that. And Lastly, Greg, let's spotlight Edgar Martinez because he's pushing for the Hall of Fame. He's running over 80%, as you told me, and we know that he's in his ninth year on the ballot. The Hall of Fame announcement is next week. It's about a week out, January 24th, and he's in a decent position to get in, right?
It's been fascinating because I covered Edgar's battle here to get in the Hall of Fame for. This is the ninth year, and I remember the early years, the vote had come out, and he'd be at 25, 30, 35%, and I'd call him up and ask him about it, and he'd say, well, I just hope, maybe as things go along, maybe the voters will take a different look, and here we are in the ninth year, and voters are taking a different look, a closer look at Edgar, and he really could get in this year. I mean, he's taken a big jump in the early voting that we've seen, and as you said, he's at 80% right now, and you need to get 75 to get in, so... voting patterns, though, as we've seen, Danny, over the years, the voters that don't publicize their ballots usually have smaller ballots or aren't as big Edgar supporters traditionally, because a lot of the online guys that put their ballots out are kind of more into sabermetrics and things, and a lot of the older school guys that don't publicize their ballots and send them in late tend to be less Edgar supporters. So he dropped about 7% last year at the end. The votes that weren't publicized. So here he is at 80. So he's got to keep a little less drop than that to stay in there at 75. So it'll be interesting if he can do that. If not, I think he's going to come awfully close if he doesn't get in. And I would think next year would be a pretty darn shame if he didn't get in, if he's coming that close this year. Usually guys that come that close get pumped in. So next year, if he doesn't get in this year, next year would be his last year on the ballot. So big, big, big push for Edgar, and I'm feeling pretty good, much better than I used to about Edgar's chance to get in, and rightfully so. He was an amazing player in Seattle for 18 years, and would be wonderful to see him join Ken Griffey Jr. in Cooperstown.
Absolutely. I think that would be great for the city, for the team, and the franchise as a whole, and it would... I'm sure, Greg, be awesome for you to be able to cover that experience as well. You have such incredible stories and insight into who exactly Edgar Martinez was as a player and is as a person. So I hope for that as well. So we'll find out soon. That will be coming up sooner than we all think. Just like everything else in our baseball world is starting to head our way and fast forward. We're right there. We're on the edge. So always, Greg, I appreciate your time and your information. And I know that if anyone needs any more of their Mariners fix, they can go to Mariners.com and read all of that good stuff, because the other season, the off season, the season, all those things are here. So it's time for that stove to turn on all the way to hot. And, Greg, I can't wait to talk to you next week and see what happens.
That was good, Danny. Always good talking to you.
All right. I'm Danny Wexelman with Greg Johns. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.